Okay, I want to give you a two-minute history of Christianity. Christianity began in Palestine as an experience where people were together with Jesus who experienced God. They experienced God. They experienced Jesus. It was a mystical experience. Jesus was a mystic who experienced God beyond him, beside him, and as him. He said mystical things like, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I'm the light of the world, and so are you. He did mystical things like transmitting healing energy and knowing things about people. Actually, all of the world's religions, all of the traditional religions of the world began with the mystic. The first Christians were also mystics. Then Christianity moved to Greece and became a philosophy. Nothing wrong with thinking and understanding, but they began to squeeze out the experience. Christianity became what you believed, not what you experienced. They substitute thinking about God for connecting to God. It became the Nicene and the Apostles' Creed, recited in many churches today. Jesus, born of a virgin, suffered, died under Pontius Pilate. Notice the entire life and teaching of Jesus reduced to a comma. Whoa. And then it went to Rome and became an institution. Now, inevitably, Christianity had to organize. Everything has to organize if it's going to continue. You all have to organize to keep meeting. But it was prompted by the Emperor Constantine's need for only one version of Christianity. We've got too many versions here. We've got to decide which one is the right one because that's going to unite my empire. So power more and more in the hands of the professional priest squeezed experience out altogether in favor of politics and running an empire. Christianity moved to Europe and became a culture. People grew up being Christians, just like your English or your French. Not what you experience or what you passionately believe, just part of your culture, a very weakened form of Christianity. And then Christianity came to America and became a business. Whoa, churches need build buildings, support staff, become successful, mortgages, defaults, big businesses, financial scandals, and with the churches a business, the bottom line became not following Jesus and what the Spirit is doing and saying today, but what is it that's necessary to keep the church members happy, keep them giving their money, and keep the institution going? We're in business to stay in business. We're not in business to follow Jesus. Well, we say that. Christianity, which began in an outburst of life-changing spiritual experiences, is now the opponent of such experiences. Mystical experiences are messy and hard for the clergy to control because they want a smoothly run institution. Not a bunch of people running around experiencing God, full of life and passion and energy and all sorts of new ideas. While there are business aspects to any organization, we have to resist the sidetracking experiences. Let's push it back. Let's push it back. 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 Christianity began as experience. Last night, at 3 o'clock in the morning, actually, I woke up and I got to thinking, except for last month when I was here, this is the first time I've been away. I've said this last month. The last time I was away from home was when I was in California. I think it was either Los Angeles or La Jolla attending a conference. And I invited a pastor friend, Presbyterian pastor friend of mine, to come with me because I knew I would be experiencing my panic attacks, my agoraphobic panic attacks. And so I woke up the first night there in the morning with having a panic attack. And I had, you know, called my counselor every day when I was out of town. I had taken all those Xanax I could afford to take. And so there I was at 2 o'clock in the morning, laying in bed. We had twin beds, and having a panic attack. And I thought, now back then, of course, I thought I was straight. My pastor friend was straight. And so I thought, I'm having a panic attack. The only thing that helps at this point is somebody I know has to hold me. I thought, oh, he's really a good friend, but we've never done this. So I said, Andy, I'm having a panic attack. Oh, yeah, oh, well, anything I do, I pray for you. I've tried that. I need you to hold me. hold you? I said, yeah. Could I just come over and sit next to you and you could just put one arm around me? And so he did very carefully, you know. Here we were, two straight men in our underwear, and he was holding me in the motel room. And I calmed down. Came home. I decided not to travel anymore. So as I said last month, this is my first time traveling. Well, anyway, this morning I woke up at 3 o'clock. I was thinking about that. The reason I woke up, because the room was so full of God. I just woke up, thought, oh God, you are here. It was the God beyond me, that infinite God that was just everywhere. Everywhere. I was experiencing God's presence. And then I, of course, experienced God's intimate presence. For me, it's Jesus touching me as he always does. And it was just wave and wave of energy and love coming from him. And I just bask in it for about 15 minutes. Just let it flow over me and in me and through me. And in effect, I was thinking about reflecting on the infinite God, experiencing the intimate God next to me, and then I found myself, instead of thinking about being in Santa Barbara, deep down inside of me, I realized Santa Barbara was in me. That's the way I was experiencing my inner divinity. That I was in that vast open space. I could experience not being this little small person in Santa Barbara, but somehow or other, because I was one with God, Santa Barbara was in me. This beautiful, wonderful city was in me. And experience some of that vastness. Actually, it's the full circle. It's back to the infinite God that I was experiencing. And I thought, what a difference. What a different place I am now. And it's because of what I have learned in the past 10 years and what I'm going to share with you now and review. The Integral Church is not only a church that understands stages of spiritual development, but it understands states of consciousness and standpoints or perspectives of viewing God. The integrally formed church's mantra for experiencing more of God and understanding more of God is very simple. They both go together. It's a very simple mantra. If there's only one thing you remember that I have said, only one thing, it's 12 simple, clear words. Jesus talked about God, to God, and as God, and so can we. That's the one thing I want you, if you will remember that, when you have other speakers coming and read other books, if they leave out any of those, you put it in on the inside of you, okay? Most every Christian group today leaves out one or two of those. On my tombstone, I want it written, 1937. But this was problematical. I thought, what am I going to put there for this? I said, well, I'll live another 100 years, okay? 2112. This is what I want on my tombstone. He always said Jesus talked about God, to God, and as God, so can we. That's what I want. Somebody asked me to sum up my spiritual beliefs and practices. I said, it's easy. Jesus spoke about God, to God, and as God, so can we. It's a very profound thing that can shape our experience and our practice. And if we go to a church that leaves out any of these, we ought to put it in or do something else. Because this is what it's about. The traditional Trinity. Remember, we've said that's valuable and wonderful and been a foundational thing for so many years. And let's keep it, but let's put it down here. And let's talk about the three faces of God, the standpoints from which we see God. Remember, we talked about the infinite God. We talked about the intimate God. We talked about the inner God, the expanded Trinity, which we said was God in three dimensions. Jesus talked about the infinite God. He talked about the God who sent love to the just and the unjust, the creator of the world, the God in whom we live and have our being. He reflected and talked about that God. Jesus talked to God. Jesus talked to God like he was Joseph, his daddy, because he called Joseph and God by the same name. Abba. Abba. God. Daddy. The intimate God. However God comes to you, be it Jesus or Mother Mary or whoever, don't ever leave out talking to God who is right beside you all the time. And then Jesus spoke as God. As God. And so can we. I hope you've been doing that. You come here and reflect about God, which is wonderful, and have conversations about God and think about God. I hope at other times you talk to God. And I hope at other times you are experiencing yourself as divine, as a spiritual being on a human journey. Jesus talked about God, to God, and as God, so can we. There are three states of consciousness. They have to do the same three things. About God, the infinite God, God beyond us, that's reflection. That's whom we access by reflection. We think. We observe, we see God around us in nature, in science, in the glory of all the things that are around us in the objective world. We talk to God, God beside us, in prayer, what I call interactive prayer. In my book, I call this connecting prayer. I was looking for a word that didn't say prayer. Because when you say prayer, you're like, yeah, I know what prayer is. Our Father, and I say something to God. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about connecting. I'm talking about interactive prayer, where things happen, things go on. That's what I experienced last night. In interactive prayer, we may hear words on the inside of our mind. We may hear music on the inside. We may sing. We may sing back. We have a conversation with God. We let God speak to us. With my new smartphone now, you know, I mean, I talk to it and it talks back to me. It's wonderful, you know. But a lot of people have a relationship with God that isn't even as good as their smartphone. They do all the talking and it never talks back. God, she wants to talk back to us. She wants to guide us. She wants to give us words of encouragement. They usually come as words that come into our mind. And of course, we usually say, oh, I just made that up. Oh, it's just the eggs I had for breakfast this morning. Try wondering if it really isn't the Spirit speaking. Or we may sense a presence. God is with us. That's interactive prayer. We may talk to this presence. Somebody said, how do I do this? I said, well, just if you were to see Jesus in front of you right now, what would he look like? Describe him to me. And I'd say, Okay, that's good enough. Jesus doesn't care what you think he looks like. He's here. That's good enough. Now go ahead and have a conversation. Go ahead and use your holy imagination, the screen of your mind, and have a conversation with God. And let it be filled with love and devotion and passion. That's what I was experiencing last night. It was Jesus' passion for me and my passion for Him. It was love and adoration. It was not tame. It was wonderful. So I'm using the word interactive prayer now to say this. This is your birthright as a follower of Jesus, because Christianity began this way, as a mystical experience. And so we access this by interactive prayer. And then God as us, whom we access by abiding in oneness. Now this is the most challenging. By the way, I loved Suzanne's talk. I heard it on the recording. I just loved it. It was so wonderful. And what I loved about it is she was so honest. She said, this is the part that's the hard part for me. Well, she was speaking for lots of people, you know. It was so wonderful, the talk she gave. And that is the hard part. And the reason it's hard is, it's because for most of us, it doesn't start off as an experience. It's just words. And that's okay. That's where it started for me. I heard a Buddhist talk about it. And then I went back to the Bible, and lo and behold, Jesus talked about it. Jesus said, I was the light of the world. I didn't feel like I was the light of the world. Of course, he said it, so I'm a follower of Jesus. It's hard to argue with Jesus. And okay, I'm the light of the world. And it went from there. So it sounds unreal at first, but if you accept it and begin to practice it, you will begin to experience it. I've just begun to experience this vast openness in the last year or two. See, I teach something until I learn it. I started teaching it 10 years ago. I mean, talk about it being spiritually challenged. That's me, okay? You know? Give me a book to read, we'll do fine. Talk about an experience, and they'll say, what are you talking about? I had to be in therapy for 30 years to get experiences to go with the words angry, sad, mad, glad, because I pushed experience down for the sake of my head. My head got me the National Merit Scholarship to Washington University, you know, not my heart, not my feelings. So I had to work on that, and I still do. So 10 years ago, I started talking about that I'm a divine being on a spiritual journey. Those are nice words. Wonder when I'm going to experience it. Now, most of you all are much more open spiritually than I have been. At that level of spirituality, I've been open mentally, but not open in terms of experience. But by abiding in oneness, oneness with God, we tried this a while ago. Would you be willing to experiment with me again, just to try this a couple of times? It's a way to try it as if, okay? Jesus said before Abraham was, I am, and we can say it too. So would you say it out loud with me? Before Abraham was, I am. That's you. That's us. Now this time, say it from your heart. Say it. This is the place where we experience that vast I amness of God. Say it with me. Before Abraham was, I am. That's you. That's me. We are eternal spiritual beings on a human journey. Would you say this with me out loud? Once again, and you don't have to believe it. It's okay. I didn't believe it either when I started saying it, you know? I had to come around. But it smelled like Jesus. It sounded like Jesus. It sounded like what the most spiritually... Well, it sounded like Richard Rohr. I mean, if you're Catholics, you got to love Richard Rohr, don't you? Okay. Say this with me out loud together. I am a spiritual being on a human journey. I was never born and will never die. I am a piece of God in human flesh. In my deepest self, I am divine. See, somebody says, well, how can we say that? Well, we can say that because Jesus said so. In the Gospel of Thomas, oh, Lord, I love the Gospel of Thomas. The Lord had it buried, I think, to save it and preserve it so it would come alive back in 1945 when we were ready for it. Here it is saying, 106, whoever drinks from my mouth will become like me. Really? I myself shall become that person, and the hidden things will be revealed to that one. Really? If we drink from Jesus' mouth, we become like him, and he becomes like us? Who are you going to believe? All that stuff you were taught in the past, or Jesus? Wow, become like me. Fully human and fully divine. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. And that's us too. And then he said, hidden things will be revealed. What are those hidden things that will be revealed to that one? Our true self. Our oneness with God. That's what gets revealed. That's what gets revealed. There's a beautiful line by Gerald Manley Hopkins. You know, Gerald Manley Hopkins was a Roman Catholic priest, a poet, and gay. Okay? I kind of keep working that in, don't I? This is so beautiful. Listen to this. I am all at once what Christ is. Since he was what I am. And this, Jack, the subject of his poem, joke, poor potsherd, patch, matchwork, immortal diamond is immortal diamond. Wow. Immortal diamond. Jack was an immortal diamond at his deepest heart and soul. An immortal diamond. That was him. You know what? That's you too. You are an immortal diamond. Your deepest, truest self is an immortal diamond, just like Jesus. An immortal diamond, just like Jesus. I really like that picture. Don't you like that? Wow. Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. An immortal diamond. Our true self is buried treasure, buried deep within us. It has to be uncovered and separated from all the debris of our ego, but it's there. Father Richard Rohr says, there is a capacity, a similarity, and a desire for the divine reality inside all humans, and what we seek is what we are, which is exactly why Jesus said, we'll find it. You initially cannot see what you're looking at, for because what you are looking for is doing the looking. What you're looking for is doing the looking. That's deep. And if you get it, you see what we're talking about. Who is it that's doing the looking? Your divine self. What are you looking for? Your divine self. We're all looking for God. There we are looking. It's the diamond that's looking. Wow. Let's just take 10 seconds and let that soak in, okay? Well, so many things to say. Let me wrap up in 5 minutes so we can have time for questions. Let me tell you how practical this is. This is really, really practical stuff, okay? Some researchers developed a test, a stress test. It's really easy to take. It's a picture of two dolphins. If you see something else besides two dolphins, it means you're under stress. Are you ready? Here we go. Oh, I see. Well, you're okay. Well, wouldn't it be great to live in a place of undisturbed peace? Undisturbed. That's this divine center we have. This is very, very practical. Let me tell you one other reason it's practical. Getting in touch with our divine self, interactive prayer with Jesus and with those who've gone before, is what you do after you're dead. Let me talk for 5 minutes. Would it be okay for 5 minutes to talk about what do you do after you're dead? This is something, you know, if you're 20, you don't think about. I think about it now, okay? Ever wonder what happens after we die? You know, men say, wait, nobody brought a ball? Now what are we going to do for all eternity? Wow. As the one said to the other, to be honest, I was a little disappointed. It's hard for a place like this to live up to the hype. Thank you. Thank you. So what do we do? Well, okay. Traditional Christianity says, well, and Islam too, well, we're heading for a finish. You die. If you're good and saved, or good, you go to heaven. Saved, you go to heaven. You become perfect. It's just infinite retirement, which sounds like hell to me. And Eastern religions say it's endless cycle, karma, and all that sort of stuff. I don't think any of that happens. I think we enter heaven where we left off on earth. Just incredibly more resources and help available for us to continue to grow. Wonderful to leave behind all the aches and pains of our physical bodies. The feeling of exhilaration with a body of light, our spiritual body. Unspeakably beautiful. Perhaps the most dramatic change I've experienced the last 10 years has been around death. Most of my life, any time I thought about dying, I had an empty, sinking, awful feeling inside of me. It was just there. I don't have that anymore. I don't have that anymore. One of the things we can do is practice getting ready for dying and death and heaven here. That's what prayer and meditation and all this mystical stuff is all about. It's all about. I mean, I don't want to have body drama when I get to heaven. Egad, where's my body? I'm just floating. Where are all these thoughts coming from? How come I can't see people like they usually look? Where's all the light? Light everywhere. Where's the light bulbs? I don't see any light bulbs. Where's the sun? Where's the light? This place is vast. I'm vast. How come everything's so big? Whoa! Why go through all that drama suddenly when you can get used to it here? You can get you. Last night, I was experiencing what I'm going to experience when I die. I'm getting used to that. I don't know. If I'd have woke up like that 30 years ago, I might have been scared to death. I don't know. See, when we die, we have bodies of light. When we die, our energetic body, our spirit, our soul leaves. Okay? And
go to Santa Barbara.
That's right. It goes to Santa Barbara, right? We become people of light, and I've researched this both in the scriptures and near death experiences, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, my own experiences, the experience of mystics down to the bath. This is what I think is what happens when we die, and our spirit self, our energy body and spirit self leaves. The first thing we encounter is this tunnel of light. This is what mine looks like. I drew a picture of it. I see it all the time. I've been seeing it for 5 or 6 years now. One time, a couple years ago, I went inside of it. I was awake. My eyes were open. It was there in front of me. It often is. And this time I went inside. I felt the sides. They were kind of hard. I thought they'd be like clouds or something, but it was hard. But anyway, there was the tunnel of light. And it's real and it's true. But people, that's what people experience. And then after that, we have a life review. We have a life review. Standing in the light of God's love, I call it non-judgment day. Yeah? No judgment. Not the kind of thing we think about now when we think about, oh, my life, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. It's not of that at all. It's full of life and love. Wow. We're thankful. We see wonderful things. And then we see Jesus. We see loved ones. Christians will probably see Jesus. If you're Hindu, you might see Kali. If I saw Kali, I'd be scared to death. I'd think I was in the wrong place. But if you're Hindu, this would be very comforting. Isn't God wonderful? God loves us so much. She won't shock us or give us an experience we're not used to. She comes to us in the form that is most loving and kind to us. How incredible she is. Wow. And then we see our loved ones, our husband or wife, or our partners. We see our kids. My daughter Beth was 40 when she passed away 5 years ago from colon cancer. And she was quite ready to die. She was a part of a group. Southern Baptists didn't take on her, thankfully. And she was a part of a group called the Priestesses. And as she found out she was going to die, they prepared her for dying. And she and my energy healer took her to the Tunnel of Light and to the next side. She visited many times. She visited her mentor there. She was all ready for that. I spoke to her last night, too. She's having a wonderful time. And so I can talk to her now, and it gets it's a little tricky. Because there's this little thin wall between us. I'm going to get to really see her. And we see our old friends, our really old friends, you know. We see our kids. Wow. We see our dogs and our pets. Yes. Jesus gives us lots of clues. He says, in my Abba's house are many mansions. The word mansion there in Greek can mean way station. In God's place there are many way stations on the journey. Lots of places to be where we grow and grow and grow. I think we go as far into heaven as we're comfortable with. I mean, God is... She's very kind. I mean, she wouldn't take a bunch of Southern Baptists and get them all the way to heaven, and they'd look around and see all the Catholics and the Jews and the agnostics and the Muslims and die of shock, you know? So they go in as far as they're comfortable, you know? And then God takes us a step at a time. So my last point is simply this. Deep prayer and worship in all states and from all standpoints is rehearsal for death in heaven. It's so practical. If you have a loved one that's passed on and you want to talk to them, ask to talk to them. It's okay. Jesus talked to Moses and Elijah. They'd been dead for hundreds of years. Jesus' Bible said, don't talk to the dead. Bad stuff. Jesus tore that part out. Went up the mountain, talked to Moses and Elijah. You know what they talked about in the Transfiguration? They talked about his upcoming death. He needed some help with some people who had already died. We can get that help too. I'm going to stop. And we got 10 minutes for any questions or things you want to ask about. What do you want to ask me? Anything? I'm up for anything. Yeah, there's the microphone, or I'll repeat your question. Oh, I must have just brought up some questions. Remember, you're just all shocked. Yes.
Well, I've got a question that I've actually been struggling with or wondering about in Jesus' own words in John 15, where he talks about he's the vine and his Father is the vine keeper, right?
Say it again now.
In John 15, and Jesus, I love it, he talks about how he's the vine and abide in me.
Yes.
And his Father is the vine keeper.
Yes.
But he also says that if you don't bear fruit, if you abide in him, you'll bear much fruit. But if you don't abide in him, then those dead branches will be cut off and cast into the fire.
That's right.
And how does that relate to our eternal, in your mind, how do you see that relating to our eternal nature?
Okay, well, it doesn't relate to our eternal nature. It relates to this time right here and now. That's garbage dump living. That is, Jesus was saying, listen, let's not kid ourselves. If we make bad choices and we decide we're filled with hate and unlovingness and we oppress other people, that garbage dump comes to live inside of us. And those branches get cast into there, and we've got a lot of work to do. So, and he's not talking about some, we turned it into a doctrine of eternal hell after we die. Jesus is talking about Gehenna, which was a real place. The fire went out, but he was talking about that garbage that existed. So that's a truth. That's a reality. And so what it does, it motivates me, is, Lord, I want to get a head start in heaven. I want to enjoy as much of it as I can now. I want to change my attitudes towards those I find it difficult to love. I want to see where I'm oppressing the vulnerable and the weak. I go out and do protests for, you know, the church that wants to castigate gays and other things like that. I want to not have that garbage dump living inside, because it's a reality. So I think Jesus was a realist. He used metaphorical language, which of course the church took to say, we can control people with that. What we'll say is, if you don't do what we said, this will happen to you. But as long as we stay with what Jesus said about it, we're okay. So it's a reality. Now, it's not something I think we need to dwell on. Jesus was speaking a reality to a world that was very resistant. Tonight I'm going to talk about the church world that's very resistant. And the church world, there's a lot of garbage dump stuff there. Jesus was speaking reality. So thank you for that question. Yes, good for you. What else?
You talked about speaking to the dead.
Yes.
My husband is in heaven. I know in Scripture it says, do not go to mediums or all of that stuff. Is what you're saying is, go directly to them. How do you do that?
Okay. Well, yeah. Here it is in Leviticus. First of all, you tear that part out, okay? Okay. Now we got rid of that about don't, okay? And we're going to follow Jesus instead, who decided to talk to Moses and Elijah. Well, I think first of all, you check it out with Jesus. Jesus, is it okay if I connect with some of my loved ones and see what you hear, see what you sense back, and then if it's okay, just ask to speak to them. When I scattered my mom's ashes in the rose garden at a park nearby, we were on very good speaking terms because she was crazy and I had to get away from her. But I just, that was a tender moment. So I said, Mom, how are you doing? And I heard come into my mind these words, I'm doing better. Doing better. Now, I could have just made that up. I wonder if when Jesus came down from the mountain and he said, wonder if I made that stuff up about Moses and Elijah. See, isn't God so great? She gives us a choice. There's a beautiful sunset. And nowhere down in the corner does it say, by courtesy of God. We get to decide whether it's a gift from God or not, see? So you can decide. And what's the most unused part of our spiritual apparatus is the screen of our mind, our imagination. And so let that come alive. That's what opened me up to this relationship I have with Jesus. Now, somebody at the modern level, some skeptic, could say, Paul, you're just hallucinating and you've got a vivid imagination. I don't think so. This is an experience that's wonderful and real to me. So I think you just ask, you talk, or you go to someone who's skilled in communication with those who have passed on. And there are people who've done that. It's easy to get caught up in that sometimes. We don't need to do that. Jesus' experience with Moses and Elijah was his personal experience. It was recorded. He didn't, on the Sermon on the Mount, say, after he got through with the Beatitudes, and by the way, I want you to go home and talk to your dead parents. You know, it was a kind of like, this was something at a deeper mystical level that's certainly okay for people as they move into that, keep it in its right place, but it's available to all of us. Available to all of us. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to talk to your loved ones or even your pets. They're available. And, you know, get a conversation going now. And then when you move into that stream of light, just continue it on without that veil that's present with us now. Yes.
I think it's very interesting we're having this conversation on All Saints Day.
Yes.
And tomorrow is All Souls Day.
You got it.
And last night was Samhain, which is the Celtic festival.
That's right.
And the belief being that the veil at this time is very, very thin between the worlds. So
that's right.
I think it's very appropriate that you're talking about this today.
Thank you very much. And our worship service Sunday, yes, thank you. Our worship service Sunday, our worship leader mentioned that this was All Souls time, and we sang for all the saints, and with the thundering organ and the timpani, it was wonderful, and I wanted to go right then. And then in our quiet time, he said, just think about those that have passed on and connect and communicate with anybody that you like to. That was a part of our worship service. Yes, sir.
I'd like to affirm what you have just said. In my own life, in the last several years, will reflect upon my parents, and I by sharing this with a friend or with my wife, it sort of brings them alive and brings the memories alive. And then oftentimes, at night sleeping, it's like there is something for me there.
Yes, that's right. They come and watch over you. They're there. I can't believe when I first started talking about this at church, I started talking about this 30 years ago, and I'd have people come up and say, I've never told anybody this, but after my so-and-so died, they appeared to me for several weeks after a person passes, there's an unusual entrance to their presence. Yeah. See, this shouldn't be strange. This is what Jesus did. Jesus is still walking around now. He's available in the spiritual realm. I mean, this is normal stuff. Normal stuff for Christians. Well, you all are just wonderful. This evening, we're gonna end up talking about leading change and causing trouble. Okay? So if you haven't caused enough trouble already, come back and I'll show you how to cause more. Thank you very, very much.